2002. Yep, I'm leaving you here. Always leave the room, dance.
Greetings, this is Stephen Merritt, and I apparently on WGXC Accra, which I think of as WGXC Hudson, but I don't know. I've never been to Accra.
You like music?
This is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can I say no to that?
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by The Highway Drive-In, a four-screen drive-in movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. Information and schedule at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Carrie and Donald Gardner of Athens, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
And now
Hello, hello. This is Missives to the Ether. I'm Kat Tice, and you are listening to WGXC Acra live from Catskill, listener-supported radio. Today's guest is Leah Bertucci, whose track you were just listening to In This Time from your new record, In This Time, is that what it's called?
The record is called The Oracle.
The Oracle. Okay, so that was In This Time from The Oracle, which is just out. And there's going to be an awesome record release party at Avalon on October
22nd.
October is a lot of things are happening in October right now, so I can barely keep track of it. So thank you for clarifying. So welcome.
Thank you,
Leah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Leah is an experimental musician whose works revolve around electronic and spatial extensions of instrument and voice. I think that feels apparent if you were listening just now. She has several records out, and that was her latest. Leah, I'm so excited to have you here for so many reasons. Mostly just because you are someone that I think really kind of taps into the internal psyche in your work. and that's what we're all about here. I'd love to hear about this new record and what you were thinking about, where you're coming from with it.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty voice-centric record. For the first time, I'm really using my voice a lot. And rather than come up with lyrics in a more like conventional way, I decided to take an approach that's improvisational, where I would do a kind of stream of unconscious, like tapping into my inner monologue and influencing my inner monologue by thinking about recent dreams. And I would sort of seed it with different texts. There was a lot of material from Greek mythology and, all sorts of stuff thrown into the mix. So that kind of is my approach to the lyrical part of it.
Cool.
Were
there any particular texts that you gravitated towards, or was it sort of more of like kind of a bibliomancy kind of process?
I read a lot about different oracles, actually, because it's just like this desire for divination. Mm-hmm. In ancient Greece, there was a number of different places that you could go for these services. Mm-hmm. You know, giant oak trees, where people would leave empty bottles that would hang from the trees, mm-hmm. From the branches. Mm-hmm. And then the way that the wind would sort of move them about, and you could hear different voices, they said, from these vessels that were hanging from the oak tree.
I love that.
I know. Isn't that a beautiful image?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just, you already had me at oak tree.
Right.
Like, I was like, could I just go to this oak tree and talk to it? Like, I was like, I'm already there. But then that adds a whole other component to kind of have, like, the bottles. And it's making me think of that Police song for some reason. Like, that's really cool. And yeah, the concept of the oracle, like, what's that about? Like, where?
Well, you know, people have used all sorts of methods of making sense of reality over the millennia, and oracles were an early method of that, of trying to figure out what to do next, mm-hmm. To see the future, to understand the present, and that kind of ties into the question that I'm going to ask the deck today.
Great.
So like just this desire for vision, this desire to know and understand, and also sometimes oracles can come out in poetic or kind of distorted ways, and it's a question of interpretation.
Sure.
Of what the oracle says, which is also like a big part of, as I vocalize in my record, certain words or phrases are obscured through the electronics that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also part of it, is kind of taking language and breaking it apart and reconstituting it.
Yeah. Well, that makes me think a lot about kind of erasure poetry and, you know, that very specific technique of, I can't think of, I mean, there's a few kind of conceptual poets that have experimented with this, but taking different kind of formal documents, legal documents, political documents, whatever, and then kind of on the page, kind of photocopying them and kind of obliterating them, like with, you know, big blocks of darkness, and then just like kind of like what's left, and kind of making new poetics with like what's left. So it seems there's a parallel to that in a little bit.
Yeah. Like the abstraction of language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, and is there any particular reason why now this feels like a relevant, like, process or kind of practice or coming into this record for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we're in a time when nobody knows what truth is or how, or like what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a country where we live in two separate realities. One that's right and one that's left. And it's pretty hard for people to understand the other. And I think that that is probably one of the biggest, you know, hurdles of our time. There's also this sort of weird prolapse in communication. Nobody knows how to talk to each other. And language is going through all these, you know, with attacks on free speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly part of it. And thinking about how to change language, modernize language for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, intense politics around language right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that makes sense to kind of circling back to like the concept of the oracle, an oracle of any sort, just to kind of deal with this uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked a lot in our pre-interview about kind of the states of wellness and how even that has become a blurry mess.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of like intuitive practice to kind of discern like what really one does feel aligned with now, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of, disinformation and mind control stuff going on out there in the ether. So it's really important to kind of have a North Star.
For real. The ether is murky.
Before
we go in, we could go on and on about this, but I was curious also, like, you know, and a big part of why I like to have these conversations and talking to artists about kind of where and how spirit kind of interacts with their work is also kind of talking about the balance of how does one stay balanced within themselves when we're not actually working on our work. And I happen to know that you are a proficient and enthusiastic mushroom hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear you talk about that and how that grounds you and informs you in your thinking.
I really like to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a really good cook too.
So there's that. There's that dimension of it. And I like to go on walks in the woods, and sort of the like mindset of mushroom hunting requires a sort of selective focus,
mm-hmm.
Where you know that certain mushrooms are going to appear at certain types of places, and it's all also, you know, depending on the weather and the time of the year, different mushrooms will come out. So it's really, I don't know, just having a more complex relationship to taking a walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
can be nice.
Cool, great. Well, we discuss the question, and loosely, like, I think that it's centering around clarity. How would you want to frame it?
Yeah, I would say that the question for today is, how do I see clearly?
How do you see clearly?
How do I see clearly? And that's a really big and expansive question, but one that I think is large enough that, I don't know, we can...
Can you shuffle?
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting thinking about clarity and also kind of connecting to this subject of, like, the oracle. Especially in times like these, I think it's important to think of how to hone our own intuition and be less reliant on needing a guide. Like, we can learn from others, but also there's a moment where, like, one of my biggest, like, a phrase I really like is, like, take what you need and leave the rest.
Mm.
And I think this is, like, a big time to kind of really kind of be committed to that practice in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we're all kind of complex people that have different kind of modalities, and kind of like one emphatic truth doesn't, even if it feels true part of the time or to one aspect of our lives, it might not hold true for everything. And I think kind of being able to kind of take in various informations and pieces of knowledge and interpret them for meaning is a practice of kind of an integration that one has to kind of come up for themselves. And so
truth is a moving target, right?
There's that too. Or like what feels true in the moment, but yeah, I mean...
Well, that's also like the value of science, you know, because science as epistemology is the search for truth and the willingness to discard previously thought of things as truth
mm-hmm.
once they're disproven.
Right.
So that sort of like flexibility of mind is important, you know, because we live in like a dynamic system, right? So... if the system is dynamic, then, yeah, truth is not this, like, immutable thing. But there's a lot of people who are lying their butts off right now about, like, reality. So...
there's that. Well, going back to discernment. And
discernment.
I think going back to discernment, yeah. I had an interaction.
I'm trying to discern.
How to shuffle. You're doing a great job.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Here, I have like a different technique now.
Yeah. You're like a blackjack dealer. I had a very interesting interaction at an open studio yesterday where I was just like, wow, like this person is in a different reality. And what was crazy was like I was able to kind of maintain the conversation and keep this person engaged, even though I was like I didn't want to. But then I was like, okay, like I can be here and also let this person be in their reality. And I knew I had to escape. Like it inherently felt in my body, I need to escape this conversation. And at the same time, I was like doing it politely and also being like, okay, like I'm not affected by this. I guess
it brings up like how, like to what extent do we entertain other people's delusions?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
I mean,
that's also the big question. And, you know, and I think it's a case by case scenario. I was just at an art opening, you know, so we're always in those interactions.
sure.
But yeah.
Tell me when I should stop.
Shopping. Whenever you feel like you've done enough.
Like I've figured it out.
Yeah. Well, you got to feel it out.
Okay.
Going back to feeling it out for yourself.
One more round here. Oops. I think we're almost there.
Great.
Yeah, discernment. Let's see about seeing.
Yeah, see about seeing.
The question is how...
defining clarity.
How can I see...
Clearly.
Okay.
And dear listeners, or anyone who's new to listening to this, I'm reading from... Lisa Stirl's Modern Witch Tarot deck, which is quite a lovely deck. It uses the same archetypes as the Rider-Waite, illustrated with like a contemporary queer and feminist lens. We like it here. This is our main deck that we use. And let's... Oh, okay. Okay, let me work the mic and the cards.
Work the mic, work the cards.
And the decks. Doing all the things. This is a very DIY operation here.
Sorceress / engineer.
This is a really interesting...
Uh-oh.
No, interesting in a great way. This is going to be a great discussion.
Is it just like you're out of luck? Sorry.
No. It's very, very proactive. Once again, I'm going to explain this to Leah and the listeners who have not listened before, but I always do a traditional Celtic spread, which is what this formation is here. And then on the side is sort of like kind of the advice for the future present. That kind of works up the side here. Usually think of it as like sort of like an amalgamation of kind of atmospheres about kind of going forward. Based off of what the future present card says. So at the center here, our protagonist position, which is another way I like to think of it, is like we're just like, I'm taking this from Alexander Cheese and I'm forgetting his point of reference right now, but it's thinking about where we're the protagonists in our stories. And it's kind of nice to think about.
This one?
Yeah.
So it's temperance.
Temperance reversed.
Upside down.
Yeah. And reversals, I do read reversals, which kind of does nuance the meaning of a card somewhat. And I like that too, just because it kind of takes like the pressure off of like, this is like speaking to you as a person. It's just like kind of like, I'm just a character, you know, in my story, main character energy, whatever. And I always cross it over with another card because we're never one thing at the same time.
Which is the Three of Pentacles.
Three of Pentacles, which is a great card. So temperance is all about balance and kind of it's not so literal as you know, like a lot of people think about temperance in a very old school way. It's like kind of sobriety and kind of like stay, you know, it's a kind of, and Rider-Waite does have this like kind of like archetypal, like kind of religious association with like church and state and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so like the earliest interpretations of temperance is really kind of about like kind of living kind of like a pure life. But it has, the meaning of this card has evolved to kind of have more of just like kind of keeping things in balance, keeping things in check.
I noticed that it's drawn with a figure who is dipping her toes into the water.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
Well, she has one foot in the water and one foot on the ground.
Yeah, right. So just the idea of, I don't know, temperance. I like that.
So temperance, so in reversal, it means that things are out of balance. No duh.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
I think we can all confirm.
Things are really out of balance right now.
That's a true thing.
That's a true thing. And I love this cross by Three of Pentacles, which is very much about kind of doing our work that kind of gives us purpose. As a way to kind of address our overall circumstances. And so seeing it crossed over here just, I think, speaks very literally to the fact that you've just made a record that is kind of speaking to the misbalance and also kind of speaking to kind of the, you know, we didn't even get into just talking about the Jungian, you know, the Jung in dream interpretation and kind of using that as a source material to kind of speak to this like larger collective reality, which, Yeah. Like, was dream interpretation something that you've done a lot, or is it something that you've, like, indulged in, you know, keeping a journal or anything before?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of different schools of thought about dream interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling about it is that a dream, it's not necessarily the imagery as the underlying feeling that is associated with an image or an action or something that happens in a dream. Is like, because it could be like a puppy, but there's something ominous about it. Like, it has three eyes, right? Like,
you have weird dreams.
Well, I do have weird. I do have very weird dreams. True.
Uh-huh.
But I just watched the movie Altered States last night. Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie?
A long time ago.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kind of great.
Yeah.
It's about like tripping until you become like a Cro-Magnon.
Right. Right. Wow. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. I saw it a long time ago. Yeah. So
definitely worth a rewatch.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I think kind of like, I mean, the big thing with dreams is like, it's usually kind of just speaking to like an emotional state that you know, like, in the same way that tarot is a mirror. Like, I think dreams are a mirror too, but being like, I know I'm really stressed out about money. I know I'm really stressed out about this relationship, and now I'm just thinking about it being stressful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's like kind of like the weird, like kind of like symbols that articulate that, but what you usually come out of it is just remembering the feeling, even if you don't remember the details. So
yeah, dreams are like a funhouse mirror. You know?
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. Yeah. Okay. So this is where you're at. We know this. And so above and below. So above is sort of kind of our external, how we're perceived. It may be true.
The Knight of Swords.
It may not be true. It may kind of be, you know, sometimes we are, how we're coming across isn't totally how we are doing on the inside. And that's a spectrum of whether how good or bad that is, but it's just, this is what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the below is sort of like kind of the internal influences. So interestingly enough, so you got Knight of Swords upright and then King of Wands reversed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with Knight of Swords first, because I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, Knight of Swords, they are like go for it energy to a point, dare I say. And it makes sense. You're an Aries as well. And, you know, Aries is like, they're the warrior sign, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I know. We're fighters.
Heard about it.
Yeah. and Aries, in the Knight of Swords, Aries energy is very much like, I'm going to go for it. And sometimes not fully taking in all the details, and there's good and bad to that. I'm not getting a judgment about that either way. I think that's just like the energy that you're kind of known for, you know, like you go for it, you experiment, you are like, and you put yourself out there and you put your work out there, and that tracks.
I'm going for it.
Yeah, that tracks. And then King of Wands reverse. And I just, I've said this on air before, but like, reversals is something I'm still really learning. So I always just like kind of like to double check just to make sure I'm on track with it. Because King of Wands upright is a pretty like, they're leaders. They are pretty pragmatic. Is a one word to kind of think about them, but in reverse, it can kind of change a little bit. It can mean either one is exerting power over you, or you are exerting power over someone else internally. But tracking with our conversation as it stands now, I think it's just speaking to the balance of revolutionary spirit, because I think that in essence if one feels called to take action publicly in community as an artist, what have you, we're doing it because internally we know that things are awry and, you know, and we are out of power. And like the way that we reclaim that is by speaking out, taking action, making art about it, etc.
I mean, power is something that I think a lot about, because I think it is the drug that our elected officials seem to be the most addicted to. I mean, power is incredibly potent and has sort of shaped our entire civilization. The quest for power, the thirst for power, abuse of power. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot.
Yeah, and works out lines up perfectly with your past card, which is River Justice in reverse. So past can be yesterday, 20 years ago, last week. It's just the version of the past that needs to be, we need to be reminded of right now. And I think this kind of tracks because to fuel this energy, especially to kind of give as much Knight of Swords energy as one does, it comes not just from the immediate, or it can't. Like, some people can be activated, radicalized, what have you, but, like, I'm getting very much, like, this is not a new change of heart. Like, it comes deeply seated from past injustice, like, experiencing and viewing and acknowledging past injustices and the scale of that you can interpret, you know, from the spectrum of like personal to public. I think all of it is a combination. We're all coming from feelings of injustice and marginalization in so many ways. And I think that these personal experiences inform kind of how we decide to speak out for others like us and also others that are not like us.
Well, when we have a clear view of past injustices, I think it helps shape our understanding of the present reality.
Sure. We gotta start from somewhere. We gotta start off being a little angry to move up. So now we're into the fun part. Good time. So King of Pentacles is our future present. So I always like to clarify, the tarot is a mirror. It's not a forecasting tool. And so this card is the future present, which just means how do we deal with our present and move forward within the energy that we're thinking about right now. And King of Pentacles is another leader that... how to describe him and think about. And Pentacles represents money.
Does that mean I'm gonna get rich?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I do see some abundance in around here. I think, you know, and Pentacles represents money, but, you know, I always like to kind of center it more around ideas of abundance and resource. And sometimes we can access resources that don't immediately or have to require money to come in. And I sense in general, no matter what happens, you have enough.
Good thing to be reminded of.
Yeah. But I think that thinking about it, this card falling in this placement is the advice. The message I'm getting is learn how to lead to make sure that others have enough. That in kind of recentering kind of the injustices, really kind of speaking to that, whatever that means. and whatever resources you feel that you can speak to sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really good to try to operate as much as you can within like a spirit of generosity.
Yeah.
Especially towards people who are a little bit younger than yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. The message I'm getting is take some time to think about the specifics of what you can offer.
Mm.
And have a lot of fun with it. So the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So our lineup on the far right is moon. This is the lineup for those who are the tarot heads out there, who are interpreting with me. Moon, reverse Ten of Pentacles, reverse Six of Swords, Queen of Cups, upright. So how to be this kind of leader with the intention of generosity and sharing resources. Be wild. Be as wild as possible. I think that makes sense. I think that we can only lead those that want to be led by what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And like-mindedness is crucial in that. And the message I'm getting is the wild ones are yours. Six of Swords, upright, this card, this is the card where it's a picture of two people, their backs are faced and they're in a boat and being led away, and the six or the swords are like kind of stabbing the front of the boat. And upright, this is a card that means leaving someplace, which is a hard departure. Sometimes it's a place that you know, it can mean leaving home, leaving a place that you've known for a long time. And feeling sad about that, but knowing it's the move that you have to make for whatever reason. But no, you got it reverse, which is...
which means I should stay home.
Yeah, like kind of like your work is here. That you've done this leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But now you are in a place to kind of ground.
Mm.
And this work that needs to be done needs to be at home.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Fall is always I always feel like really especially interested in hunkering down in the fall time. It's like nice to be close to home.
And you travel so much.
Yeah. I know. It's funny because like when I'm on the road, I'm very much like on the road. But then when I'm home, I'm very much home.
Yeah. Yeah. Of any musician I've known a few.
Mm-hmm.
You're really good at traveling, but you're really good at being domestic.
Yeah.
Which
oh, yeah.
is good.
Yes.
And unlike a lot of other musicians I know.
Right.
I do like
having a cozy home, or just having a home to go back to that is feels like a good nest. I'm really into the nest.
Yeah, which leads in perfectly in the Ten of Pentacles reverse, which is all about kind of stabilizing the home.
Hmm.
So upright, you know, this is a lovely family scene. So many pentacles all over the place. And we've established like pentacles are money and abundance and having enough. You have enough. There are questions about how that abundance is being allocated.
Mm.
And I think that part of the need for you to kind of stay centered and at home is to address that.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This, I think, emotionally, these two in relationship are really like the work that needs to be done right now.
Hmm.
Which sounds heavier than it needs to be. You're having a lot of fun around it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's emotionally fulfilling. The Queen of Cups, she leads with emotions. I always think of her as being very Piscean.
Mm.
You know, she's like the fish with feelings kind of leader.
Mm-hmm.
Very maternal.
Mm-hmm.
compassionate. Yeah, this is really interesting because it's like it's a really interesting balance of like masculine and feminine energies, like really in true alignment of balance, like not in a performative kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of understanding that it's important to kind of be direct and firm and proactive, but also kind of never lose feeling and empathy through negotiating kind of the questions of how to act with generosity, authentically.
Hmm.
Authentically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it's really this is a time of fulfillment, and really kind of testing the boundaries of how far you can go with that. And like really like the overwhelming thing I'm also getting is just like kind of like really thinking about how to share resource in ways that are really specific to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like whether that we mean skill sharing, opportunities, sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things about playing music is that it's such a relational form. You meet people and you interact with people in all sorts of different ways, whether it's collaboratively or in like a teaching mode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about like offering, I mean, making music is offering things to an audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's always been a big thing that I've thought about. I would say like actually since the pandemic, the notion of like generosity towards an audience is something that I definitely considered in a deeper way. At a time when there were no live audiences.
Yeah.
You know, like what it means to actually be generous to an audience, in terms of, the way that that can manifest, performatively.
Right. Also, what does it mean to be together? And also kind of thinking about like, like thinking about
community.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I think you know.
Should I play the lottery? I mean, I should play the lottery.
Only
all,
if you're going to give
pentacles.
You actually already have it.
I already won the lottery. Hey.
You already won the lottery. And now it's time for you to kind of feel out the best way to allocate close to home, how to do that. I think that's the clarifying agent for you. I'm sensing is like thinking about what you can share within, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying like has to be like Kingston specific, but like, you know, like, but maybe, I don't know. It's more of like kind of just, thinking about how to foster your abundance in ways that kind of open up clarity for others. Yeah. Like that's kind of like where between this King of Pentacles, this Queen of Cups, and you're kind of going to be a fighter about it, which I know you, and that's just like, you're just going to like do it. Like, you know, but
so somebody once described me as, in terms of, like me as an artist, as hellbent.
Yeah.
And that word has kind of like stuck with me in this interesting way, because like it is very true. And I think it is kind of what it's going to take to make art in any kind of expanded way, during this next period of time, a period of time that we're in now and is like coming into the future too.
100%.
Is like you have to be really hell bent because it doesn't, you know, make a lot of practical, logical sense to be an artist right now. It's challenging financially. It's challenging, like, morally. Not morally, but, like, it's easy to get down.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Being an artist, there's right. a lot of things that can go wrong or not come through or anything like that. So you have to, like, weather the storms a little bit. And I feel like the artists who are hellbent are the ones that are tuned into a kind of, like, DIY ethos.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help them survive.
Help us survive. Yeah. I mean, I think kind of connected to that, that's why I do this show, is just the idea of fostering community to kind of just give shape and articulate that part of the whole role of being an artist and how much spirit needs to be intact to kind of keep going, you know?
I think you have to, like, take care of yourself in really specific ways.
Yeah. And that, but it's very individual and everyone has to find their balance. Going back to, justice is like, well, temperance at the core of this reading. That this is the balancing act, is like kind of finding like what one needs to kind of keep going and keep it in check and keep it moving and keep expanding and keep evolving and keep being interesting and also keep being happy. Do you have any questions before we wrap up with the last songs? We're already almost over.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it goes by really fast.
Nice.
Do you have any questions before we wrap up?
I guess so. Is the overall sense that using power in, like, a community-minded way will help reality or truth or clear vision happen?
I would reframe it, your power.
My power?
Your power.
Oh.
Because we all have power. And right. we can use it for good or evil. Your power is knowing, you know, your community, these wild cats dancing under the moon. This is your community. You know, this
is, they're so cute.
They're adorable, right?
Wait, what's that though? That looks a little scary. That part.
I mean, okay. So they're okay. The moon card is, for those of you know, there's always the darkness and the shadows lurking in the water too. But we always are living with the shadow and the light. They're dancing in the moonlight, but, like, there's creepy things in the forest. We know that they're there, but we still can have fun together in the moonlight.
I like that.
This is your community. The power, or your power, is thinking about how to negotiate your power in ways that share your abundance. Period.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. So, where is the best place to find or hear your record is on Bandcamp or?
Yeah. So it's a self-released record. I have a Bandcamp, which is called leahbertucci.bandcamp.com.
Great.
And yeah. The Oracle comes out on the 17th of October.
Cool.
So it will be there in full. It is possible to pre-order it through the website.
And that's great. And then the record release party, you're going to do a party in Brooklyn, a show in Brooklyn.
Yep. So we're going to do a record release show at Light and Sound Design in Greenpoint. With Cab Baird and Victoria Ketty.
Awesome.
And Sean O'Sullivan will DJ.
Awesome.
It's a really beautiful space, in a loft space with an absolutely amazing sound system.
Great.
In Greenpoint. And that'll be on the 22nd, Wednesday. And then following Wednesday, we'll have the 29th, we will have another record release party for Upstaters.
In Catskill.
In Catskill at Avalon Lounge. So I'm going to be performing pieces from the new album, and I'll have vinyl and CDs there as well. And also opening is Cab Aired again, and Keith Fullerton Whitman.
Fabulous. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Misses to the Ether on WGXC. I'll be back next month, and we'll close out with a track by Wolfgang Tilsman.
Thank you. curved and angled walls and walkways. Ornamented structures. Homemade marble. Intrepid enthusiasts. Idiosyncratic. Megalomaniacal.